This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Hey, Bulavinaka, Dalavina to our Fijian audience and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the best spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and my Cook Island Coley has taken another sick day. He is away and we have our good friend Will Hopoate back in the chair, the King of Tonga himself. Nah, jokes. But here he is. How are you, Will?
Good, thanks, Sammy. Good to be back. I tell you what, that Fijian announcement, that... sounded Fijian, Sammy.
I've been practicing a lot, man. I really, yeah. Especially like Dolavina is like the, how you say hello in the West.
Ah.
You know what I mean? So when you get...
Surely there's some Fijian ancestry up there.
I think in Lau, you know.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
No, I appreciate good. That, man. I love my Fijian community out there. Big shout out to all the listeners in Fiji. Man, that's my people out there, as well as Tonga as well.
Well, it's good to be back, Sammy. Plenty to cover today. Round 22 in the NRL. And, man, what about the wet weather going about?
Weather. It's across all the codes.
Yeah.
Man, it was torrential rain.
Oh, mate. So, yeah, we'll cover some of those NRL games, the Lions and the Wallabies. We got one up, Sammy. The Wallabies, we got one.
The respect is back in the jersey. Yeah, we'll go through that for sure.
How good. We've got some NRLW news to get through, as well as we'll hear from our good friend Shelley Long. And our guest today, Lydia Kavoa, Tongan Fijian, who's played for the Wallaroos and serves in the Navy, Sammy.
Serves in the Navy, man. She founded love for rugby while playing in the, I think it's the ADF.
The ADF
there in that competition. Fell in love with the sport, Fijian, Tongan as well, heritage. And I think we'll definitely unpack, you know, some of what we spoke about, like, you know, with her father, or Fijian father being traditional and his views around her, you know, playing a contact sport and how he's her biggest fan right now. So, yeah, plenty to get through. Let's rip in.
Moment of the week.
Yeah, let's get to moment of the week, and we will head to the NRLW with Shelley Long a little bit later in the show, but it will be our moment of the week, and I just really love that some of our big boppers, our powerhouse athletes in those certain positions, front row, back row.
They don't always get the credit.
They don't always, exactly. They just take all the glory, the backs, you know. How hard is it to score in the corner? Will, how hard is it?
Exactly.
But I thought I would give a bit of a shout out to our powerhouse athletes who scored some tries.
Well deserved.
And we look at Parramatta, Elsie Albert. She barged over for a great try in their game. And it was their magic round as well in Newcastle in horrible conditions. Up there we saw young Tongan for the Roosters, Alia Nasio. She scored as well. And a big shout out to Tash Benatani, who scored her first ever career try for the Titans against the Dogs. It ended up being a 14-all draw. So
that was another first draw in
NRLW. First draw in NRLW. Yeah, there
first
we go.
Try first try. A lot of firsts.
A lot of firsts there. So I thought that deserves our moment of the week. And good luck to all the teams, because hopefully you're staying nice and warm and no one's got sick after that weekend, because as we've mentioned, it was horrible conditions. And they also had a delay from the Lightning as well. So that deserves our moment of the week.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofogo-Acilia from the Australian Women's Sevens team, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, you are listening to Nijan Footy, and we're going to go straight to Rugby League. And Will, what are we starting with in the world of NRL?
Well, actually some amazing games over the weekend. I think the Dolphins and the Warriors, Dolphins scoring on pretty much the bell.
Buzzer what beater, about that?
Jermaine Isaako to win over there against New Zealand, always a big win for any team. So shout out to the Dolphins in coming up with the buzzer beater. Big score, Broncos absolutely smoking the Rabbitohs, 60-14. But two games I wanted to highlight were actually two upsets, I believe, the two biggest upsets of the round. The Dragons defeating the Canberra Raiders 18-12 down in Wollongong. Now, the Raiders have won their last, they've won 9 straight, right? So they haven't lost since, I think it was May. Mid-May, they haven't lost. And so obviously big favourites coming into this game. They're on top of the table or up there. Dragons aren't doing too flash, but mate, I'll tell you what, the Dragons just had that pull them into the gutter type mentality.
Yeah.
I actually, when playing in a struggling team, I loved when it rained. because I knew we had a chance.
Really?
Especially against the good teams.
Yep.
Yeah, just because, you know, the flair and the
skill. They're pretty pitches, yeah, aren't there anymore.
Yeah, they're pretty, you know, flash plays, aren't, and it's just, boys, we just drag them in the gutter with us. We got a chance to win. And so the Dragons, they had that type of mentality. But at the same time, I was looking statistically, they actually were more disciplined than the Raiders. So I believe they deserved to win. They had more run meters, more tackle breaks. They had a higher completion rate to the Canberra Raiders. They gave away less penalties, had less missed tackles. And so overall, they were quite disciplined, the Dragons.
Do you think when you're on a run like that, that it is actually a blessing in disguise to have a little hiccup along the way just to burst the bubble just a little bit? If there was any complacency, any egos, anyone getting ahead of themselves, do you think this is it's a good thing for the Raiders?
Absolutely. 100%. I think obviously they would hate to lose, but inside I reckon Ricky Stewart, the coach, is like, I'm grateful for this.
I'm grateful because I can flog him on Monday.
Yeah.
Bring him back down.
And it's just sort of, you know, brings the boys back down to earth a little bit, tighten the screws in training this week. And so I feel sorry for Manly. They're playing Canberra this week in Canberra. And when a good team's coming off the back of a loss, that next week's always a bounce back. And so it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back this Friday. A few Nissan players to highlight. Big Maul Sully for the Dragons, ran the most metres in the game, 183 metres. Hamesele come off the bench. In 25 minutes, he made over 100 metres and 13 tackles. That's what you want off the bench, right, Sammy? Impact.
Absolutely. There to do a job.
There to do a job. And probably the moment of the match for me was, he played great, Matt Fearguy, the centre for the Dragons. He scored a try, set up one, three tackle breaks over 100 metres. But let's listen to his try.
On the last, Cook out at dummy half, left-hand side goes to Flanagan. He continues on for King Tongia. Then the cutout pass to Matt Fearguy will go over and score. Matt Fearguy scores the try for the St. George Illawarra Dragons just inside the Western touchline after set after set after set. You have to say it was coming, and they draw first blood. They lead 4-0, kick to come, 10 to go, 10 gone in the first half.
And so with that try, you probably didn't see, but he actually fended off Matt Timoko, who is no slouch for the Canberra Raiders. And so well done to Matt on a great game and a great try, and well done to the Dragons in putting up an upset.
Yeah, nice upset. Just on the Dragons too, did you manage to see who their 18th man was?
Was that Jacob
Halangahu?
Halangahu,
yeah. Only 19 years of age.
Big raps on him, eh?
Yeah, massive raps. Yeah, he works so hard. You know, like he's relentless. He's ruthless with his preparation. And I know his dad, and I know his family quite well now. So I've just seen the evolution of his progression. And I reckon he's going to get a debut before the end of the year. Like he's close. You know, I spoke to his dad. And he said, I think it's coming. I think he's coming. 18th man.
Yeah, he's there. Well,
he's there.
Yeah,
so that's probably a little tester just to see warm up, game day experience.
He's a big body too.
Not tall, but he's thick. He's very thick. So, yeah, Tongan background. So hopefully we get to see him in Dragons colours making his debut before the end of the season.
Absolutely. And hopefully in the future, some more red and white playing for Tonga in the future, Jacob.
Yep, there is.
There we go. And the other upset of the round was the Tigers beating and upsetting the Canterbury Bulldogs. And that game was yesterday. The Tigers, again, just another sort of pull them into the gutter. But I just feel they had more intent, more energy. I don't know if they were taking it personal or not. With the whole Galvin situation,
they came out and said it wasn't personal, and I've got no doubt. Like
it wasn't.
You're not going into, we need to do this to Galvin. Once you start doing that, you're taken away from your own.
That's right.
Preparation, but I've got no doubt. There's extra feeling in there.
Yeah. And it would have been unsaid throughout the week.
Exactly. You know it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, statistically, they were actually quite even in terms of run meters and tackles and things of that nature. But, yeah, I just believe the Tigers had more intent, more energy, things that you can't really stat. And so they shot out of the gates and scored four tries in the first half to the Bulldogs 1. It was 20-4 at halftime, and they obviously went on to win 28-14. Some Nissan players to highlight, Terrell May. The most tackles of the match. You never really see a Polynesian top the tackle count, but he topped it with 40.
Really?
Yeah, Terrell May.
That surprised me. I would have thought.
Yeah, we always think like hookers.
The ones that play 80 minutes.
Yeah, the ones that play 80. But well done to. So shout out to T May, 40 tackles. Jarrell Skelton scored two tries on the wing. Another big body. I thought the moment of the match for this was Samuel Fainu. He saved the try in the first minute of the match on Stephen Crichton. So Bulldogs kicked off. Tigers ran the ball. They lost it off the kickoff carry. Bulldogs were attacking the Tigers try line. Crichton makes, you know, a break then in the line and was going to go over score, but Fainall saves it. And then I was just, why I think this is a moment of the match, say Crichton does score.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens to the game, right?
Exactly.
Especially when you're a struggling team, the mindset's like, oh, here we go again. And so well done to Samuela Fainall on that. Yeah, I think a great game and great upset by the Tigers.
Where do you see the Bulldogs now? You know, after that loss, is it similar to Canberra? You know, they need that little bit of a hiccup just to put everything back in check.
I actually heard an interesting fact that most of their losses this year have come in wet weather games. Yeah,
so, don't like their gutter game. Yeah. Don't want to be dragged in there.
Don't want to be dragged in the gutter. And so, I don't know. It could be fact, could be theory, but it's interesting to hear that. So I think it's just a minor hiccup for the Dogs. They will regroup, and I'm sure they'll bounce back again next week. And so, yeah, some interesting results over the weekend. Not too much movements in the ladder this week. Just a couple. Manly played Roosters. Roosters beat them. They pretty much just swapped positions on the ladder. They're sort of fighting out for their bottom eight of the top eight. So that's all we have for the NRL this week, Sammy.
Actually, before we move on from NRL, I want to talk about quickly about the trainer from the Panthers. Disrupting the kid.
What are your thoughts?
Corey Bocchi. I actually know the trainer. He was our SNC when I was at the Tars in my last year. He's a great fella.
He
loves his country music. I love him. I'm just thinking,
because you know him and you know who he is, how he is, his personality, do you think that was on purpose or was it a...
Nah, no way. I reckon he just forgot where he was. Yes. Nah, I don't know. It's hard to say because I do like gamesmanship.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, the trainers can have an impact on a game. And I just want to ask you, have you ever come across any trainers that have impacted the game or impacted a moment in a game?
Well, I've had trainers that have come on and... have spoken loud enough to us as players, but you know he's speaking to the ref. So you come on, bring the water and be like, man, what about the hands in the ruck, hey, boys?
Oh, so just telling the ref loudly.
Yeah, yep. So he's looking at the boys, talking to us, but he knows the ref can hear. And so just a bit of, you know, putting a little word in there.
That's, what about you, Sammy? Okay, well, in a club footy game, there was this guy, he's a bit of a pest in terms of just in general, but like good fella. He was a physio trainer. He was in the backfield and he saw, like, we kicked it. So he was behind the opposition fullback.
Okay.
They've kicked
as
it
in
up.
Behind the goalpost?
But in the field. So like he was sort of treating someone.
Yeah, okay.
He was sort of treating someone on the floor and just had a look up. We've put the bomb up and he's gone to the opposition fullback and he's left the person that he's treating stood behind the fullback and said, yeah, my ball. And the fullback let it go. Like just
He
let it go. He didn't know what was going on. And
how
then,
good is that?
So,
imagine you guys scored off that.
Oh, I know. What would have happened? But it just went out and anything. But just the blow-ups that happened. But I just thought, like, that's pretty funny. When you think about it, it's pretty funny. But anyway, I like a bit of gamesmanship.
Why not? Got a bit of spice to the game.
But what else have you got for us in the Q Cup?
So in the Q Cup, after their bye on the weekend, the PNG Hunters will return this weekend versus Clydesdale in Port Moresby. And in the New South Wales Jersey Flag, unfortunately, our Tanganes, the Kaiviti Silktails, lost to the Penrith Panthers at Wins on the weekend, 50-0. Hopefully they can bounce back this week. Remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. That's it for league. Time for rugby, Sammy.
Absolutely. Yeah, good work. Always good work from you, Will, when you have to step in and give your insights. But, yeah, rugby union. We'll start with the Wallabies.
Yes.
They won the final game. Yes, indeed. And it was 22-12. They survived the 3-0 potential whitewash. Mm. I think that would have just been a massive blow. Mm. Like, I don't know what that would have meant, you know, if they didn't win that game. But it was very wet conditions in Sydney, cold. And just to make things even more dramatic, the game was stopped for 30 minutes due to lightning. So I think that was just after halftime. Players had to go into the sheds and wait for the lightning to clear. And I'll talk about it in my review shortly, but I just thought the Wallabies handled that situation better than the Lions. Mm. The Wallabies didn't win the series, but I think over the past 2 weeks, they put some real respect back into that gold jersey. Mm. And the support, the packed out stadiums that surrounded the Wallabies and the Lions, I thought it was a massive success.
Yep.
this series, and it had everything. And from that game, what impressed me, what stood out for me was, I think, the turnaround during the week. You know, just 7 days earlier, we talked about that penalty, you know, the emotion and the way that game finished. Mm. Yeah, that takes an emotional and physical toll on a team. So to be able to get rid of that, and prepare well for what's ahead, I think that's a credit to the players and the staff. Like, they nailed their preparation. And and I think that's what I really loved about how they got up, because it's easy to, you know, be down in the dumps for ages. But to get yourself back up.
It'll be easy
to
be like, man, it's gone. Lost the series. Like, yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? But to their credit, I love the way that they ripped in. And you could see there was raw emotion in the game. The Wallabies boys were up for it. We saw a war of words between Joseph Swali'i and Owen Farrell. Mm. You know, they were going at each other in one of the breaks of play. And man, if you're a lip reader, it'd be pretty easy to read what was going on. And what else impressed me was the way they controlled possession and executed in those conditions.
Yeah,
like it would have been tough. You could have easily, you know, forgave both teams for not executing because the ball would have been slippery. So I thought, the Wallabies did an amazing job, especially around line-out time. Mm. You know, they executed well there. They stole a few ball security in the contact areas and still chancing their arm, not tightening up fully, still were playing footy. And we saw that with Joseph Swale's slick hands and footwork to set up Dylan Peach's opening try in the corner. You know, the Wallabies held 57% of the possession. They only turned the ball over 11 times. So I thought that was outstanding in those conditions. Mm. And when we think of the reverse side of that, they created a lot of turnovers in key moments in that game. They stole what lineouts and the breakdown penalties. Like, they came up with some big plays in big moments, and they were able to turn the lines over 8 times because of it. So that was a key stat, because that allowed them to get their defensive line set, slowing the ball down just a fraction. Because like what you were just mentioned with the rugby league, the Lions played with flair, they played with width, and some of the best attacking shape I've seen in a very long time from a Northern Hemisphere side. They just weren't able to do that. And that's why Max Jorgensen was able to score his try, because they were up in their face, shutting down that ball. And another big player, Will Skelton. Man, did you manage to catch his?
He's massive.
Huge.
How big is he?
Right, over 200 centimetres, nearly 150 kilos. Like,
and he moves around so good for a big guy.
His work ethic to be able to go effort on effort, get off the ground, get back into the game nice and fast. Like, he was the difference. And I was just thinking, I wonder what would have been if he was available for game one because he was injured. Because he was the difference in game two. I was hoping that he would play an extra 10 more minutes. But the way he was just going after every red jersey, like he, you know, if there was a scuffle, there was 3 or 4 people surrounding him at once. So he was massive, and he was my player of the series, actually. And I said it before, I just thought the Wallabies handled the lightning break better. You know,
what's the chat in the change room, you reckon? Like,
well, they were moving, they were more engaged.
Yeah.
And when you looked over to the Lions shed during that time, you saw Finn Russell on his phone. Mm. Todd Furlong, one of the props, he looked like he was asleep on the lazy boy chair, there, just
chilling on the beanbags.
Just chilling, you know, with the blanket over their legs. I just think if that was a decider, that dressing room looks a lot different. Yeah, the vibe's different, the energy's different, but that's why I thought the Wallabies handled that.
Well, I think it just goes where their mindsets were.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just thought they handled that bit better, and I'm glad the Wallabies did get one win in that series. It gives them a lot of confidence. They're straight on the plane, I believe, this Friday, and they'll head over, and they've got 2 games in South Africa, which is going to be massive for them. So the preparation, playing in front of big crowds, the intensity of a Lions series, I think we're going to be in for
good prep for the rugby championships.
I think so. For sure. But shifting over to the Pacific Nations Cup, we mentioned that all the teams have been prepping, and we're getting closer to the 23rd of August, where Tonga will be playing against Samoa at Delphova Stadium to kick us off for the Pacific Nations Cup.
Opener.
So we're looking forward to that one. And at the Brumbies, young Devita Alantini has signed a 2-year contract extension with the Brumbies until the end of 2028. So, yeah, he's converted from back row to prop, and he got injured last year playing for the Australian 20s. And now he's got some good news that he gets to re-sign with the Brumbies for another 2 more years. So we'll be definitely seeing him in Brumbies colours in the near future. But that's all we've got for rugby news and results before we get to Wallaroo, Lydia Carvoa. But let's Let's get to Shelley Long, talk about Magic Round and what's happening in the women's space.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Yes, we have our PNG Orchid and NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, how's your week? Is it wet up there? As wet as it is in Sydney?
It's bucketing down, isn't it, here?
No, it's nice. It's singlet weather. You know, I'm hoping I make you jealous, guys, because it's beautiful here in far north Queensland.
I'm already jealous. Singlet weather. You said that, I was done.
I know, man. Like, it is crazy. And I guess speaking of the weather, we're going to go straight into round five of the NRLW Magic Round in Newcastle, and it just seems to always rain cats and dogs for the women's game. If it's not Origin, it's Magic Round, the first ever. And yeah, what did you think of it?
Oh, you know what? I thought it was a great occasion considering the weather. The first ever time, like you said, Magic Round for women has actually happened, and no better place in Newcastle. The fans always turn up, and I think we saw that, you know, rain, thunder, absolute turnout still in Newcastle for the first ever Magic Round. But it was tough conditions, and it definitely feel like it played a bit into the performances of teams. I think the team that decided to roll up the sleeves, carry hard, tackle hard, and just play wet weather footy were the teams that dominated on the weekend. We saw the Broncos outstrung again, beating the Sharks 28 points to 14. The Knights putting on a clinic, 18 points to nil to the Raiders. And my favourite of all was the first ever draw that we saw happen in the NRLW against the Gold Coast Titans and the Canterbury Bulldogs, 14 points all. That's the first ever time that we've seen that. So it was exciting that that happened at our first ever Magic Round.
What were your highlights in Magic Round?
For me, my favourite moment was when two PNG representatives crossed the line for a try in the Eels colours, Elsie Albert and Fleur Jin. They were outstanding. Fleur is someone that I've really enjoyed watching lately. She is an up-and-coming PNG Orchid, I can tell already. And outside back has a lot of quick footwork in there, and she used that on the weekend to score her try. Elsie Albert just strung up the middle, hard-carrying middle forward that absolutely loves the physicality. So for me, it was those two tries, but also there was in particular one player that really stood out for me in the Warriors game, and that was actually Lavinia Gilly, good defensively. I think she'll be someone to keep an eye out on in the future as well.
Speaking of the Warriors, the great Ali Lawatidi, his daughter scored. That's
really?
Right, Aishel?
Yes.
Yeah. So another Lawatidi coming through the ranks.
Oh, he was the man back in the day,
mate,
eh?
Go,
did you play against him?
Nah, he was before me, but I loved watching him. He was outstanding.
Oh, I'll quickly give her a shout out, actually, because she was a Warriors development player who has just made her debut on the weekend, scored her first ever try in NRLW. So what a great way to write your name in history as well. Not only is her dad in the history books for the Warriors, she now will join him too. So super exciting news for her.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen online a family photo and the great Ali in the back. Great family moment for the Lawatidi family. Shout out to them. And so I was going to ask, like, the Roosters, again, are just flying high in the competition. Do you see any other favourites perhaps coming to match them, or you think would beat them in the big dance at the end?
Oh, it's a tough one. I think across the board, they've got such a great collective there going on in the Roosters. They're off, you know, they're 1-2-24 is outstanding, and then their ability to look outside of that and develop their players, it just seems to get better every year. I think teams will really struggle to come up against them, but if I were to pick one, I would have to go for the Broncos. I feel like them and the Broncos, they're just two of the power teams at the moment in the NRLW.
The Roosters played the Bulldogs last week. We're watching it. Bunny's, my sister's obviously at the Bulldogs. And my little sister, she's 6-7 years old. Bulldogs were getting dusted, and she's like, Bunny should have stayed at the Roosters.
So your younger sister's 7 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, she's 7 but watching her. She's like, Bunny should have stayed at the Roosters. I'm sure Bunny's thinking the same thing.
Yeah, man. Hey, you got to go where the money flows. But anyway, when you look across the competition, we've talked about the heavyweights. Now we look down at the Tigers and the Raiders, still yet to have a win this season. Well, what are you making of those two teams?
Oh, I think it's a tough one. You know, the Raiders, they have the Broncos next week, and the Tigers, they also have the Knights. So, you know, their up-and-coming games are also as challenging as their first five rounds have been, if not harder. I think they're probably going to struggle a little bit. I hope, though, that that confidence that is left in that team doesn't fall out. I've watched the after-game interview, though, with the Canberras. Zahara spoke really well, actually, I thought. She talked a bit about they did some team bonding. They've really tried to build that spiritual side back up into the team. And I think if they can figure out what's not clicking for them, they can get that win under their belts. But at the moment, they've got a tough next couple of weeks, and they've just got to grit through it.
I'm just looking at the draw for both of them, and I see that, well, hopefully they get a win before then, but they play each other in round 9, the end of the month, so there'll be one win coming down at least.
Exactly. Or it could be another draw, you never know. Oh, yeah. We'll see what happens. But before we move on to rugby, have we got any other NRLW news?
No other NRLW news at the moment. If I were to pick one game this week that I would definitely recommend watching, I would have to say the Bulldogs versus the Warriors. That will be the game to watch Saturday at 5:15 in Sydney.
Well, hopefully your little sister, Will, can support her. Support Bunny there and go, yeah, I'm glad you went to the Dogs. You got the win. But let's go to the Wallaroos. They played last Friday night against Canada. They got the win, and now they've announced their Wallaroos World Cup squad heading to the World Cup at the end of the month. I believe they play Samoa as well on the 23rd. What did you think of that game against Wales, not Canada?
Wales, yes, that's right. So with the Rugby World Cup kicking off on the 23rd of August, things are finally starting to heat up. We saw, like you said, Sam, the Wallaroos wrapped up their home series with a great win against Wales, 36-5. I think, particularly after their first performance against Wales, they weren't where they needed to be. And I think they've taken a lot out of that game and worked on that over the last couple of weeks to get that win there. But there were a few standouts for me. Piper Duck, Arabelle McKenzie, they both were great for the Wallaroos. I think that win will also set them up in preparation for the World Cup and let people in their pool know that they are ready to play footy. They are up against some hard teams in Samoa, USA and England. We know that the England team is very dominant in the rugby space for the women's game at the moment. So a lot of preparation still to be done ahead of that.
Yeah, but 11 Nigerian stars in that Wallaroos side. We see Amosa, Kapani, Kavoa, Masters, Moleka, Palu, Bohiva, Smith, Talakai, Dui Nakavandra, Naden. Like, there's some genuine stars there, but let's go to Dui Nakavandra, who we've had on the show before. 2 tries in that game against Wales. She was enormous with her ball carries. What have you made of her performance?
Oh, I think she is an outstanding middle. She's got 18 caps to her name, and I think that speaks to what she can really deliver for the Wallaroos. I think she'll be one to watch in that forward pack, as well as Pohiva. I think those two combined will be deadly weapons for the Wallaroos. As long as they stick to their game plan and tighten up that defence, you know, in attack, they'll be all work.
I was just going to say, you know, I've been hanging out with Sammy quite a bit recently, and rugby's run.
I've grabbing grown off on him.
He has.
I'm selling him the dream.
I've just signed my son up to rugby union with the mighty Alambie Jets.
Even T asked me last week, our Cook Island rugby league diehard, he goes, how do I get my 2 boys into rugby? So the global game is having an impact.
It's having an impact, all right. Any other rugby news, Shell, before we close up?
There is. I might just add that for Samoa, I have been following along actually on their Instagram, their preparation ahead of the World Cup, and I have loved it. I have been watching them in their videos lately where they have finished training and they've got the fresh coconuts ready for hydration. their fields, I mean, we're talking about preparing for a World Cup, and you look at what their training is with at the moment. They set up the gym, they've got the chairs from what looks to be a dining room table, and they've set up the weights to do back squats on it. And I think that tells you a lot about this team. And I think They might not have had the preparation like other teams like England or Australia, but they've got the heart there, and I think that they're really going to be strong in this competition. So I'm excited to watch Samoa and what they have to offer in this World Cup.
Unreal, Shelley. Thank you for bringing that up, because you're not wrong. I've enjoyed watching. I saw their other ceremony that they had when they got to camp in Samoa. You're right, seeing the hydration with the fresh coconuts. It looks like a vibe, and what they might not have in resources, I'll tell you, they got bundles of laughter, heart, humility, everything, and they're gonna shake that competition up. I think it's gonna be a great game against the Wallaroos on the 23rd of August to kick off the Rugby World Cup for their campaign. But as always, we appreciate your time, and we'll check in with you again next week.
Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you next week.
Yo, yo, I'm Filetti Mateo, and you're listening to Lesion Footy on ABC Australia.
All right, everyone we have spoken to so far has had a pretty unique journey to their footy debut, their footy career. And for our next guest, I think you just imagine discovering your love for footy while serving in the Navy, playing in the ADF, the Australian Defence Force Tri-Service Series, getting Rookie of the Year, then 3 months later you're signing with the Brumbies and then become a Wallaroo, and now chasing the dream to hopefully be playing in the World Cup and playing for the Wallaroos. She's Wallaroo number 241, and her name is Lydia Carvoa, and she joins us now. Malolale and Bula, welcome to Nesian Footy.
Bula, guys, thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it is awesome to have you on. I know you've had a busy schedule, the Wallaroos schedule, in camp and playing. I'm sure the body's nice and sore, but really appreciate you jumping on with us. We'd like to start with our guests around just talking about where you're from. Fijian and Tongan mix, to me, that's a pretty good genetic makeup when it comes to raw talent. But, yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah, a bit of everything. Well, born in New Zealand, South Auckland, in Mangere. And my father is Fijian from the western side, Tabua. And my mum is from Nukualofa, Kolofo'ou, Tonga.
And then when did the family move to Australia?
Oh, we got here in 98. So I was five. And with my two older siblings, it was a good move. It's probably like a good decision for my parents to make. So grateful for that.
And how did they meet? How did the Fijian and Tongan connection, how did they meet there?
Yeah, so mum migrated to New Zealand when she was a teenager, around 15. Dad moved over from Fiji when he was about 21. And then that's where they met. They met in New Zealand, and they had us three kids there.
I was also born in New Zealand, down in Dunedin, but I call Australia home. Do you call Australia home or is New Zealand home?
Yeah, no, I definitely do call Australia home, like especially with my accent. I go back and all my cousins are like, hey. but yeah, I've been here way too long, like especially serving in the, like for my job role, for my job as well. Like, yeah, I'm definitely an Aussie.
And whereabouts in Australia did you first move when you first come from New Zealand?
Yeah, so we moved straight into Concord, which is the inner west of Sydney, straight into Concord, and we moved in with my brother, who had a lot of kids of his own. And back then it was them and us under the one roof. You don't think much of it now, but you look back on moments like that and you're just like, I don't know how we did it, but they just made it work.
You know, the Fijian Tongan blend of culture, and then moving into Concord with the Tongan side of the family. That's right. Like,
yes,
how did that all work out with you? With, again, probably structured chaos in that house, but you know, connecting to culture and being with family and cousins that way.
Yeah, like looking back at it now, like I know that would have been tough for my parents, but as a kid, like you know, you're just happy that you have food in your belly, a bed to sleep in. But yeah, my uncle had eight kids. And there was five of us, including my mum and dad, and there was only about four bedrooms. And so, yeah, he took us in for about 6 months, and mum and dad kind of really knuckled down for those 6 months, coming over with two suitcases. My dad always says two suitcases, one for mum and dad, and you three had one suitcase as well. And with, yeah, just bugger all money as well. But they knuckled down for the 6 months, and then we ended up moving out into Homebush, which was where we moved into our first unit.
And what about sports? Was sports a big part of your upbringing?
Yeah, like through school, sport was. But, you know, I had a pretty, like, old school, headstrong Fijian man. and he had his views on like females playing sport. So sport for me growing up, I didn't play as much as I wanted to, and it did suck. I only played sport through school, but never weekend sport. Yeah, it just was one of those things where, yeah, I was just meant to do the female role in the house. Yeah, that's how it was when we were little.
I've got no doubt now his, you know, perspective has changed quite a bit considering where you are and what you have achieved. But at the time as a kid, like, how do you reflect on that now that you've achieved what you've achieved, but you're taking yourself back to that little girl? How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, it is something that, like, it's been like a big motivator for, like, having a father that didn't let me play sport when I was little. It really, like, as a kid, like, you know, you remember things like that. And, yeah, as mentioned, it's been a big motivator for me now to kind of really push. Now, like, tables have absolutely just turned, and, like, my dad's, like, he's one of, like, my big supporters. Like, he probably analyzes my games more than I do. no, serious. There have been, like, he's over from Fiji, and like I've come home really late, and he's off just watching like all my Brumbies games, my Wallaroos games, and like, yeah, it's like a pretty like it's a wholesome moment because I'm like, oh, this guy never used to let me do nothing when I was a kid. Now he's like watching my games, and then he's like, oh, come, let's watch your game. And from like a year ago, and I was like, okay. It's nice. I'm grateful for it now.
When it comes to your father's advice on rugby, what's the best piece of advice that he's given you?
What's the best piece of advice? He always, hey, just go and give them to them. Show them to them.
Yes.
Oh, you do the Fijian accent so well. Oh man, we've had some crackers on here. Still to this day, I think John Hopuate is like, "Hey, don't waste my time," and all those type of type of comments from Dad always resonates probably with everyone out there. But when you think about again the genetic makeup of Tongans and Fijians, the Fijian flair, probably the Tongans, you know, with the brutality. Where do you sit with your playing style? Who do you gravitate towards the most?
Oh. I reckon I just think my Tongan aggression, like I think that's like what's really been a huge impact on my playing game. I would say my ball skills, like not bad, but like I don't know, you know, I love being Tongan. Like you're naturally a fighter as well. I feel like the aggression really comes out on the field, and that's kind of where I get it from. Sorry, Dad.
I'd love to know what happened to Sammy's Tongan aggression. Might have just skipped the generation.
I see it skipped, 100% skipped.
But you first joined the Navy when you were 20. Now your father's views on you playing sport was probably different when you growing up. Now, what was his views when you first decided that you wanted to join the Navy at the age of 20?
It probably wasn't the response that I kind of wanted. You know, me and my old boy kind of went through this massive rough patch when I joined, and, you know, he had his views on me joining and I had my own views. But that was just how it was, you know, like I was just so being stuck in his ways. And when I did join, he kind of just said to me, you know, this is your life at the end of the day. If you want to do it, then do it. But then again, how the tables have turned, and even with work, he's really really supportive with me. But yeah, just talking about this now, I'm just like, parents get better as they get older. I swear. Just some of the things like we never would have spoken about when I was little. Now it's just like, oh, you're all right, eh?
Do you know when they get even better is when they have grandkids. Like all of a sudden you're going, hang on a tick. You'll give me a hiding just for that. But now it's like, oh, come here. We want to talk and cuddle and show love. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. That looked a bit personal. Sorry, yeah, that was personal.
Holy. Sorry, this is a bit of trauma. No, I'm joking. I love my parents, you know, but they love their grandkids more. But, you know, why did you decide to go to the Navy?
Yeah, I was at a stage where I finished school and I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do, and I wasn't really much of a school kind of kid. Like, I'd show up just for my mates, I kind of got to a stage where I was like traffic controlling. I was one rich 19-year-old making a lot of money, but you know, 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds, like as you do, you just party. But I got to a stage where I was like, okay, I really need to lock in here. I'm turning 20, where do I want to be in 5 years? So I just kept coming back to the ADF and Navy specifically, only because I wanted to travel and I knew Navy was going to do that for me. I wanted a warm bed, hot food and a hot shower. And that was a big, like, that was a big tick for me. And also just the benefits within ADF was also like something that was going to benefit me in the long run. So yeah, that's the main reason why I joined.
This is like very interesting to me because I think of some of our Asian stars going into a footy environment and some of those things, yes, naturally talented, but the areas where we commonly lack is, you know, just around probably discipline, eating, being on time.
Punctuality.
Yeah, exactly. All those little things that don't require talent. So what were some of the habits that you probably got found out straight away going into an environment like the Navy, because that would be, I guess, even more strict compared to a footy environment, what you have to go through in that. So, yeah, what were some of those habits that you had to break straight away?
Time management was, like, a big one to break out of. Like, you know, as Islanders, we're naturally, like, just chill, lay back, and it's like, yeah, we'll get there, all good. But, you know, do that in a military kind of setting, like, it's just not, it's just not acceptable. Definitely, like, the physical side of things as well, like having to meet the physical standards to get in, and just like the mental side of things, just having to push through moments where you're just, you're fatigued, you haven't had any sleep, and it's that's on you, you know, your mental game and who's around you need to get you through that. So yeah, they were probably the three things that I kind of found difficult to adapt to.
Now, your rugby journey, where did this begin? Did you start playing rugby in the Navy?
Yeah, I started pretty late too. I was about 27 when my first game, but I went to a comp and I just took boots because I grew up playing soccer, but I grew up in like a household where rugby was watched quite a lot, and took boots to a holidays for Navy, and I just had a run and I was like, far out, like this is actually pretty good. And then the girls came in the tap on the shoulder and they were like, hey, come to Navy camp later on, like in 2 months. And then I was like, yeah, all right. And came up to Ballymore, had my first Navy camp in 2016, and just all took off from there. Like I only played like two games, and then that was kind of it for the next, I think, like 2-3 years, because I chose to put my career first. I deployed over to the Middle East, so that was a long procedure. And coming back from that, I got off a ship, I posted ashore, and then I was able to actually join a club and learn the game properly in 2019.
I'm blown away.
Yeah, when you first started playing rugby, did you ever think that you'd be representing Australia and playing for the Wallaroos?
Yeah, I did. Ooh. That's probably the first time I've ever said that out loud. I remember actually like having a conversation with like a close friend of mine and saying, you know, I want to try and give this a good crack. And for me saying that, I kind of, there was also like, this is the good part. Like, you know, this is the great bit. But before I got here, there were like injuries, surgeries, pushbacks from 2019 to it was COVID, not playing, you know. Yeah. So there was quite a bit that was happening. So to finally like play in the gold jersey, like I always think back to conversations I had back then. And it's pretty surreal. Like I still pinch myself being here.
And then you get that opportunity to then debut, not just for the Wallaroos, but against Fiji. Like what was that week like? What was the conversation like with your dad? And the build up and obviously putting on that jersey and singing the anthem.
Yeah, that was like emotional week leading up to that. The year before, it was like just like a real like a moment for me, because the year before it was my first year of Super W, and the Fiji team, like Fiji, picked me up and was like, come play for us, my first year in Super. And I was like, oh, should I take it? I don't know. Spoke to my dad and he was like, you know, just see how you go next year, play another Super year. And then a year later, like it just flipped and I was being able to debut against Fiji. such a moment where I just had to really like remind myself to be in the moment and to really be present, because like, you know, your debut feeling, it's like, it's really like to play against a country where I'm basically from. Like that too was so wholesome and heartwarming as well, because they're some good girls.
That would have been a special day, something that you'll remember forever. And I just want to quickly ask you about your father and, you know, with your upbringing and his views on you playing sport as a young girl, but also joining the Navy. Do you remember that turning point when he accepted you as a rugby player, as a member of the ADF and the Navy as well?
Yeah, I think the moment for me was, for him and me, where I was like, I looked at him and I was like, wow, this guy actually is like backing me here, was when I had the opportunity to come and play, to come and trial for Brum. And I kind of said to him at lunch, I was like, oh yeah, Brums have asked me to trial for their match. And he was like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, oh yeah, a bit nervous. And then he kind of just said to me, don't worry, you'll make it. It's in your blood. And I just went, okay. Yeah. But I've honestly never forgotten that. And like, yeah, that, I think that was a moment for both of us. Sorry, boys.
No, you're good. You're all good.
Take your time. Both of us are here smiling ear to ear. always catch myself smiling these moments. You take your time. Beautiful story.
So, yeah, I like genuinely was like pretty nervous to come trial. To hear him say that, like that's something that I've never like kind of forgotten that he said. And, yeah, from there, I think like being able to have the opportunity to cap for the Brumbies, yeah, I think it just kind of took off from there. And then from that, like our relationship kind of really mended. And yeah, I was just super grateful. Like, you know, so this game, like, yeah, it's a sport, but you know, for me, sometimes it's just like brought me closer to my family. But yeah, with the Navy as well, like, I think like he's seen how much it's looked after me and how much like they support me, especially playing rugby. And like my parents are just so grateful that I'm part of an organization that lets me play at this level and at the same time like keep my job. So it's good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's more than good. That's a great story, honestly. Gives us goosebumps. And
you have to take credit. You backed yourself the whole time.
Some people don't get that opportunity or don't have that courage to, you know, go and take that leap of faith. But you've done that, and now there's going to be plenty of other women coming through, thankful that you've taken that path, especially family members. When I think about the women's game, it's still probably not where it needs to be in terms of you know, playing professionally. You're still serving in the Navy. Girls are still working. So how do you balance, you know, your work as, you know, being in the Navy and also playing professional footy?
Yeah, so one thing the Navy have done for me, they've let me stay in Canberra. Obviously, there are no ships there, so they've given admin job role and they literally cater to what I need. So they've given me a light job role as well. And they've basically said to me, anything during working hours involving rugby, you just go and, yeah, we'll take care of the rest. But that's definitely let me have a good balance to being able to show up, recover, and yeah, I just something that I try not to take for granted, because also like it also comes back to like just working with good bosses that are actual good humans who support me as well, because it does on the person as well. Like if I just got a boss who really didn't understand rugby or really kind of back me, then that would have made it harder. But my boss at the moment's a massive rugby head, loves the Brumbies, and is just like watches my games. Yeah, he loves it. I get back in the office, he's like, mate, good. He's so good. He's the best. He's so good.
Well, hopefully in a month's time, you can be asking your boss for some more time off, because, you know, with the World Cup coming up now, what would that mean for you to be able to represent Australia in the World Cup?
You know, that's just like going to a World Cup is like on everyone's list, you know, like every female that kind of plays, like that's the goal. That's at the top of the list. that means a lot. Like, I know, like, not only me, but there are so many girls on this team who work so hard and who, you know, want the opportunity to go. And I just know, like, it'll mean everything to go and to be able to play there. But yeah, there's a lot that comes with it that people kind of don't understand. There's definitely, like, the mental side. There's the staying injury free side. There's just so much. So being able to have the opportunity to go would mean absolutely everything.
I've got no doubt you're going to be on that plane over there. I'm sure your dad's going to try and get over there somehow, sneak in your suitcase, steal the jersey. He'll be good to go. But we're going to finish up soon. I wish we could talk. I always say this all the time. I wish we could talk for longer. But finally from me, just something lighthearted here. If I just want you to choose a food from Tonga, food from Fiji, and which George Veikoso song are you listening to while eating that bit of food, something that reminds you of home?
Oh, definitely my mum's roti curry, and my George Veikoso song is Morning Ride.
Yes.
That's been a popular one so far. Rest in love to the big man. Can't believe it, but
oh no.
Man, he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT.
Actually, Sammy sings that song like on point. Oh, give it, no, at least the chorus. Surely something.
Sorry, man, my throat's a bit sore, man. Just can't do it. I don't want to hurt our listeners' ears, but on that note, Lydia, we really appreciate your time and opening up and sharing your story, because it's a unique one. I'm so glad we got to hear it. I know our audience will as well, and we wish you nothing but love and all the best on your journey to the World Cup, and hopefully you have a successful one as well. So from us at Nijin Footy, much love and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, give me three. This is our game of categories. We always have 3 points up for grabs each week. It might be about footy, it might not be, but the loser has to pay for the partner's day spa.
Wow.
But let's get into it. You're up. You had good questions when you were on last time. So
well, hopefully I can back it up.
25-23 T is in front. So hopefully I get three for. Let's get into it.
Okay, so Sammy, the Melbourne Storm, they beat the Parramatta Eels 16-10 last weekend.
Oh,
okay,
my goodness.
They scored 3 tries, Melbourne Storm, and all of them were actually Nijin players, right?
Yep.
Who were they for the Melbourne Storm?
T's going to hate you for this because he covered this on Friday. So we've gone...
3 Nijin players.
Xavier Coates is one, the flying Xavier Coates.
Yep.
We have Elikatoa.
Elikatoa.
Number 2. And who was the third one, though? Who was the third one?
Oh, he's come back, so it's 25 all now.
25 all to take the lead. Give me a second here. Oh, he did, Mitch. Who was it? So, man, I'm just thinking. The Fijian. Tui Kamakamitha.
That is outstanding.
There it is. What about my memory?
Wow.
So 3, yes. 26-25. I take the lead. T will be upset, but I don't care. And that's the end of our show. Tell your footy-loving friends about Nijin Footy Monday and Fridays. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. Will hopuate. Malo apito.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Sammy.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favourite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.